welcome to Why Did I Keep This? A podcast about the things that have been living in the back of our closets and why it's so hard for us to let them go. Please join us as we examine our relationships with stuff and potentially convince each other to say goodbye to excess baggage. Or maybe we'll just encourage each other to keep everything forever. Let's find out. We are your hosts. I am Courtney Vinaes, an actor, video game streamer, and improviser living in LA with a colorful, quirky, and highly impractical closet.
And I'm Jackie Glick, a producer also living in LA, who is a fan of a sample sale.
And together, we are the Closeteers on a journey through time and space. And today, we have a special guest with us, Liana Holston. Hello, welcome. Liana is the co-host of the podcast Tossed Popcorn and a friend to all dogs. Liana, we are so happy to have you here.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Your podcast voice.
Oh my God, I turn on my podcast voice. I definitely have my people call it my radio voice.
Yes.
I have guested on a couple people's podcasts before, and a comment I get a lot is, oh my gosh, your voice sounds so different. It sounds like a radio voice. And I was like, it is. Yeah, I do.
It's really good.
Oh my God, thank you.
You're welcome.
So nice of you to say, especially as someone who's, you know, trying to be a voice actor.
That's,
you know, and as someone who is also, you know, making a podcast. I'm so happy
Could
that
you
I
imagine
have a...
if I came in this with like, oh, Courtney, this is not for you.
Hey, babe, you know, I want to get in front of this, but you want to do things with your
time,
voice?
Right?
Oh no. Oh no. So anyway, thank you. Thank you for keeping the notes kind. I appreciate that. How have we all been? you know, the world is the world. And part of the reason we started this podcast was because for the last few months, we've been at home a lot more. And that's sort of changing. But yeah, we've all been examining what we have, what we need, what we really don't need. And I've had a really good time chatting with people about these objects. And so, Liana, do you have an object that you've held on to for way too long or that you just can't get rid of that you'd like to discuss with us today?
I do. I really do. It's sort of many objects within one object, and you'll see why.
Oh, this is exciting.
A Russian doll?
Yeah. A Russian doll. I just really love her. No, this is my makeup bag from Irish dance in high school.
Oh my God.
Yes. Oh my God. I'm thrilled. Okay. So, let the record show. We've got like, it looks like a standard makeup bag. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got a lovely.
Is that the Lancome one from like 1998?
Oh, surely. The one that they give you for free if you buy like
yes.
two eyeliners.
Gift with purchase. I had that.
Most bags I own.
That's amazing. I just want to say a present that I would often get from my mother, like as a birthday present or a Christmas present, would be like Lancome or Estee Lauder things that were clearly the free gift that she got when she bought herself something. Where she like, and you know what? I get it because I loved all of those things. I didn't care that she didn't pay for them. I was like, great, I will use this. But yeah. Looking back now, it is very funny where it's like,
that's very enterprising of her.
Yeah. I love that. I love it. I'm not above doing the same thing myself, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. My mom and I are on the same Nordstrom points reward thing. And I buy, I think the only thing I get from Nordstrom is perfume. And it's expensive because that's, the thing I will invest in is smelling nice.
And we appreciate that. Thank you.
The other day, I was at a Nordstrom and they were like, you have a $20 discount. Do you want to use it? And I felt like I was stealing from my own mother. I was like, I don't know. Is this bad? And I told my mom and she was like, use that. What? Why did you not? That's $20 that I don't have to spend or help like you pay. Yeah.
I love that. No, that's great. Because I feel like I would have had the same reaction. But a mother would be like, yes, please use that $20. Yeah. Like, we earned it together.
Uh-huh. Also, they expire.
Gotta use them. Mm-hmm. Gotta use them.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Irish dancing.
That's the one.
How long have you, like, is this like Michael Flatley, Irish step dancing?
Yeah, it's the very same, minus the arms that Michael uses. Those are strictly forbidden in sport.
For Michael only.
For Michael, yeah, only Michael. They gave him a pass for arms in the community. Yeah, I started doing it when I was 6 and competed until I was 18.
Oh my gosh.
I love
what
that.
Happened after 18? Did you just stop?
I became a ghost. No. I passed directly away. You're not allowed to compete anymore.
You are the first ghost we've had on here. You know, we're trying to make sure we get a lot of different perspectives, and that's why I invited you here. I should have led with that. I
have this insane lighting. I'm actually here from the beyond.
Liana's room is a bit dark.
It's a bit dark. I have not yet, as an adult, lived in an apartment that had a bedroom that was like, the lighting was correct. Like this.
Okay.
In my first bedroom in an apartment, there was no overhead light. So it was, I just taped twinkle lights all over the walls, but you could not see me on a FaceTime. Like if you had. And now there is overhead light, but it's 4 different bulbs and they're all angled in different directions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten up there to really fix it. Yeah.
No, it's
so fun. I mean,
so
you look great.
Yeah.
You look great.
Thank you. But no, we are all admitting that the shading on here is dialed
up. I mean,
up.
You're just in the shadows, but you look lovely in the shadow.
What we do in them.
Okay, so wait. Why did you actually drop out at the age of 18?
Is it just like a thing you age out of? Was it, you know, college?
You went to university?
Yeah.
I went to university. I did. I went to school and... I grew up in Colorado. That's where I was doing Irish dance. And then I went to college in California. And if you transfer dance schools, there are not really copyrights, but each dance school owns its own choreography. So if you transfer to a new school, you have to learn entirely new choreography. And there's a 6-month hold on competing in the industry. So I knew that I didn't want to like put in all those hours just to not be able to compete for 6 months and then start up doing it again and have to learn all new steps, and there wasn't like a dance school on campus or anything like that, so I would have had to commute for it.
Oh
as
my
well.
God, that's wild. I had no idea. Jackie, you were a dancer. Was this something that you were aware of? I had no idea.
No, because I was like I was in ballet and you know, tap dancing and stuff. We did exams, but the choreography was not ingrained in the studio, I suppose.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. I mean, that's like, that's really cool. That's something that's like really special and interesting. I mean, it is very silly that you can't compete for 6 months. That's wild.
I didn't
absolutely
know that.
Wild.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and these are, you know, stale policies. I have not kept up to date with the world of Irish dance and if they've changed that. But at the time, that was the rule. And like, you can't videotape at competitions because everybody's steps are their own. So I compiled like a reel for college applications, a video reel of me doing dance, but we had to like film it just in my dance studio at my school and then submit it because I didn't have any footage of me from actual stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Interesting.
That's so interesting. So, wow.
So when you were 18, you stopped, and what you're showing us is a dance bag full of, like a makeup bag full of dance makeup. Mm-hmm. That has traveled with you to California because you now live in Los Angeles.
I do.
Okay, so you took it. So you took it to. Did you take it to college or did it stay home? Okay, so you took it to college and you didn't.
This bag has been with me for every move I've done since high school.
What kind of makeup do you wear in Irish dance? Like, what do you put on your face? Is it like blue eyeshadow and like bright pink blush?
Actually, you know what, from your, you know, we follow each other on Instagram, and I believe every St. Patrick's Day that we've been friends, you have posted
so you're using this.
Yeah, she posted an amazing
once a
photo
year at least
of herself.
No, these are old pictures. We are like running out of viable St. Patrick's Day posts now because I am using up the well.
Well, look, you've got the makeup. Do you have the outfits?
No. I don't have the outfits. I don't have the wig. I don't have the fake tan.
The wig?
What do you mean the wig? You wore a wig?
Yeah. I'm so glad I picked this as my item. It was either going to be this or my old boss's carbon monoxide detector, and I'm so glad I picked
it. Oh, my God.
Let's just put that on this side for now, but let's definitely talk about that.
It sounds like we're going to have to do a second episode, circle back to that one. But this one, we've got some questions.
I do want
to
say, I feel like hearing that back, it makes it sound a little bit like I murdered my old boss, and he
with carbon monoxide, to the best of my knowledge,
alive. He has a new detector.
Amazing.
This is not a moment of theft. Okay.
Anyway. Thank you for the clarity on that. Mm-hmm. We were going to do a true crime series based on that, but now I guess we'll figure out something else.
We'll have to wait for now. I mean, we can still do it, but it just will, you know,
it could be
turn out no one actually died. Yeah.
It'll be false crime.
Yeah. Okay, so wait. You wear a wig.
Yeah.
When you dance.
Describe the wig, please.
Thank you, I will. The wig is very tight ringlets, and how much experience do you have in the realm of wearing a wig?
Very little, because I can't for long. I've tried it, and I'm like, this is painful. This is uncomfortable. This is hot.
Yeah, and I've worn, you know, sort of cheap party city wigs since my dance days, and they're very differently constructed. So I have not done, like, an actual high-quality wig since the Irish dance ones, but the difference I've spotted between, like, the cheap ones and the ones we used for Irish dances, the cheap ones come with, like, a net that the synthetic hair is, you know, sort of sewn into, and you put that over your head, but then you have to, you know, bobby pin it in and just really secure it to make sure it stays. The Irish dance wig has combs in the front of it and at the bottom of the scalp so that you really, like, latch it into place. And then you do keep pinning it in, and there's, like, a whole, my mom would do my wig for competitions, and it was, like, a 30-minute process in the mornings. And we often, the running joke was that Irish dance competitions were a beauty pageant with an actual talent portion, which is a bit of a stale, somewhat, I don't know, misogynistic joke, but... The wig itself.
I'm just still trying to visualize a wig of ringlets. Is it like Annie, like an afro of ringlets, or is it like long, or is it like in a ponytail? Is it in a top knot?
It has evolved. It has sort of been all of those over the years. Mm-hmm. At the time when I was competing, the style was pretty big, sort of shape around the head, and it was a bit longer than it had been, the curls. The story I've been told, and I never bothered to fact check this, and please no one else do either, but what I heard was
our listeners don't fact check.
Okay, perfect. Wow, what a gorgeous fan base you have. The story went, Irish dance competitions in Ireland used to be held on Sundays after church, and the young girls who were competing in Irish dance competitions wanted to go to church with their hair in ringlets because Shirley Temple was all the rage, and that was the style at the time. So they would curl their hair for church, and then it would already be in ringlets when they got to these dance competitions, and then that style stuck for like a century?
Huh. That's wow.
Shirley Temple is
an original influencer.
Yeah, influencer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Child
actor. Also wanted curly hair. Maybe it was Shirley Temple's fault.
Okay. It is wild to me that you, a natural redhead with actual, like, curls in your hair, had to wear a wig for that. Like, you have
uniformity
beautiful, thick,
is key.
Glowing red hair. And how did you feel about putting a wig that wasn't terribly different from your hair? I mean, maybe it was at the time. How did everyone just have to wear...
No, everybody did have to wear it. And what was really crazy was I usually went and tried to match my somewhat natural hair color. But a lot of people would go, like, a lot of people had black hair and then would wear a bright blonde wig for dance competitions. So they would also
Pick your hair color?
You could pick your hair color and you pick it to match the dress because the dress is the centerpiece of the competition.
Right. So not your complexion in any way.
Mm-hmm. And your complexion is not the same when you're up on stage because everybody had to get a fake tan.
Okay.
This sport was insane.
This is
oh my god!
Wild.
So all these like sweet little Irish girls mm-hmm. who are naturally maybe not tan—the
palest people you've ever seen—yeah,
were fake tanning and wearing blonde wigs.
That's right. That's right.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I was fake tanning and wearing a red wig. So
keeping it real.
I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad you kept it real. I'm glad you went with red. That makes
it was pretty brave of me to do.
Okay, so. In that kit, is there wig stuff or just makeup stuff?
Just makeup. Okay, and what was all in a Tupperware in my mom's house?
Oh, great. Good. I'm glad that you still have that.
Yes.
First of all, yes. Glad you kept that as well. Mm-hmm. And in the makeup kit, talk us through the palettes and the products and what we've got.
And when was the last time you put any of them on your face?
This is where it's very stupid that I have this bag. Is the last time was probably my senior year of high school.
Okay.
I just never know, like, with makeup or, you know, like, sauces, bottles of sauces. I'm like, oh, it's not fully used, so I can't recycle it, but I don't want to throw it away. I feel wasteful doing that. And then everybody was, like, mad at glitter for a long time because it's apparently, like, terrible for the environment. And a lot of this is glitter. And so I have just taken it with me everywhere.
Yeah. Right.
I was like, no one needs to know. I'll hold on to it.
I'll just keep it forever. It's never going to be garbage. I didn't contribute to the glitter problem.
The makeup can't be. It'll
die. If you don't throw it away, it won't get stuck up a turtle's nose.
Is that the problem with glitter?
I think about that turtle all the time.
Oh, no. That poor turtle. Okay. So, I'm, like, so intrigued. Can we go through this one piece at a time?
Yeah.
I want to hear all about it.
Yes.
I also am looking at this. This is just a bag of eyeshadow.
Like, what about blush? Was there some, like, aggressive blush?
There was aggressive foundation because, I forgot to say, the spray tan was legs only for Iron Days. I don't know how I didn't get bullied more in high school, honestly, because I was walking around with orange legs and the palest arms anybody has ever witnessed. And it's because the rules for the dress in Irish dance is it has to cover your collarbone and your wrist bone. So you have these long sleeves.
Too sexy.
Way too. Irish dance is literally the least sexual dance form, and I regret learning it because now in the club, I look like an idiot.
I disagree. I think you would make a statement.
I would love to see you do Irish dancing in a club.
It's happened.
Oh my God, if there was the promise that someone, specifically you, were Irish dancing in a club, actually might get me to go to a club.
I'd be
like,
there.
I am not a clubbing
I think
person.
It works in very specific situations. Like, St. Patrick's Day is my favorite holiday of the year because every year growing up, I got to miss school because we would go dance in pubs for the whole day. And it works so well if you, the dancer, are sober and the audience is hammered. That is the perfect dynamic. But now as an adult, I have been with the audience in the hammered nature of existence. And I cannot stay upright. I just flip right over. When people are like, do an Irish dance. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And then I completely fall. It's embarrassing.
What if you do an Irish dance and the studio that you used to dance with found out? Would they come see you because of copyright?
No, I don't think so. I think it would only happen if I was
competed
doing the dance under the guise of a different school.
I see. I just don't want you to get in trouble on this podcast.
I appreciate
school
that.
Comes after and becomes quite litigious because they hear that you did Irish their dance. Jig in the club.
Shouts out to
Liana, I want you to know I actually have seen Michael Flatley live. Went to Riverdance with my mother when I was 9 years old.
Like
I
the
was
original first... Riverdance?
Yeah. I think
Do you
so.
Want to hear
I don't know
a statistic that might make you sad.
Yeah. Oh, for sure, yeah.
They're doing the 25th anniversary.
Yeah, that checks out then because I was 9 or 10. So,
oh,
yeah.
Nice.
I saw it at the time it was the Arrowhead Pond. It is now called the Honda Center. I went with my mother. I insisted on going. I think I saw like Riverdance on TV once and I was like, this is amazing and this is magical and I am obsessed with it. And my mom was raised to think she was Irish.
Wait, what is that?
Okay, so my mom was... this is actually a very interesting, funny story. My mom was adopted, and her adoptive parents are both Irish. And they adopted her through a Catholic adoption agency. And they had always told my mom that she was adopted. There was no lie. There was nothing. Like, my mom does not remember a time in her life where she did not know she was adopted. But the thing that my... adoptive grandparents told my mother was that, like them, she was pure Irish, which was not the case, and she did not find out until after they died. Like, it wasn't something she, like, thought about. They were just, like, I think it was just a thing they thought would make her feel better. Like, you might be adopted, but you're still full Irish, just like us. So anyway, my mom is, like, an honorary Irish woman. I think she was kind of like, oh, this is, you know, like, it's Irish, my parents were Irish, great, I'll support this thing that Courtney is now obsessed with. Did I want to Irish dance? No, I didn't want to do any of the dancing. Wow. I just thought it looked really cool.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, no. It does look really cool.
It does.
You're not
wrong. It
was wrong.
Great. We had terrible seats, just absolute nosebleeds, but I was I was thrilled. It was something I wouldn't stop talking about. And I tried to show my friends what it was like on the playground. Ooh. And they were like, that, okay, all right, sure, Courtney, why not?
I also
carried Beanie Babies around with me. So
yeah, Courtney, I'm hearing a lot of similarities between our childhood selves. Like a haunting amount.
That makes me, I'm honored. I couldn't think of someone I would love to have more in common with, to be honest.
Aww,
so, yeah, I just, I'm so happy you brought that up because there's this little thing in my past where I'm like, dang, I went through an Irish step dancing phase, but not participating in it. Just like being a big old fan of like Michael Flatley.
I think a lot of us did. That's so funny. Michael Flatley is a little bit, well, actually, I can't speak for the whole Irish dance community, but when I was growing up through it. People hated him. They were like, what a dick.
Sucks. No, I found out later, like, he was like really full of himself or something. Like, there were some rumors
about him. I mean, he popularized Irish dance to the masses.
He brought if it wasn't for Michael Flatley, I might not know what Irish dance was.
You know what? That's actually a little bit incorrect, and I will tell you why.
It is because
the reason Riverdance happened the way that it did is because of Eurovision. It is because Riverdance started as the interval performance when Ireland was hosting Eurovision. They performed a 10-minute set. The audience lost their minds. And then they were like, we got to take this international. And they developed the stage show based off
it. And they took it to Orange County, California.
Yeah, they did.
Was Michael one of the performers in the interim thing at Eurovision? Or did he get attached to the project when it went international?
I think he was in the Eurovision performance. I think it was him and Jean Butler, who is the lead woman in the show. But then the like DVD version of Riverdance that I had growing up, two copies of, thank you, was Jean Butler and a guy named Colin Dunn. So I don't know at what point Michael Flatley entered and exunted the process.
He really did take it onto himself.
Wow. Yeah. I'm so mad that I keep saying Michael Flatley when I should be saying Jean Butler. This podcast is dedicated to Jean Butler. Jean, you don't get enough credit, but
obviously
we see
not.
You.
I mean, I will now.
It's sort of feeling like my whole life has led to this moment.
I'm glad that you've been able to air your grievances on this podcast.
I feel like this is like a today I learned session.
Yeah,
I feel like
I had no idea
so much.
I had no idea about the Eurovision thing about it, because Eurovision remains crazy popular in Europe, but hasn't really made the transition to the North Americas, except that Netflix movie that came out at the beginning of the pandemic that I watched.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. I have a couple friends who are so into Eurovision, and they'll host Eurovision parties with their pockets of friends who are also into it, but I haven't seen it spread to the masses.
That's interesting. I would watch, but I just didn't know it was such a big deal until recently. But anyways, back to dancing.
What's in the bag?
I should go through it like a YouTuber of like, hey,
yeah, and show it like this, like hold your both Liana and I held something up with our hand behind it so you could see the label, akin to a TikTok.
Is that why that happened? Like, why does the hand go behind
it?
Yeah,
it's because it provides a cleaner background.
Oh, okay.
For the thing.
All right. Yeah, all right, that does
so
work.
What are you holding up?
This is a lovely Milani Runway Eyes Fashion Shadows. This is from a little boutique called Walgreens. And this is... The eyeshadows in here are all different colors, which means I know, like, which dress they matched that I wore. Because I had a few different dresses because I was growing. I was a growing girl. And so this one was it was like a blue dress with gold around the hem. So that was the base shadow. We'll just go through it.
My that was gosh. Like a nice palette of a bunch of blues.
It did look pretty.
Many,
it
looked, many
I was like, that's real pretty. I like that.
Lots it of options. Nice.
It's very, you know, when makeup just feels like it was not made for the human face.
almost chalky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're putting on and you're like, nah, I don't think this is good for my longevity.
No.
This is no. going to have some side effects later.
Truly. Okay. And here we've got a Maybelline palette that I think is older than that blue one, because this, the only color I ever used in this one was a green eyeshadow. And that was for a green dress. I didn't know about color theory growing up. So I was like, blue? Okay, we're wearing blue.
But didn't blue, you have, wasn't it assigned to you as to what the makeup needed to be?
Ooh, that's a really fun question. Sort of.
In ballet, we had like demonstrations as to what color makeup we should be wearing.
Wow. I had one of those.
I need that for life now.
I know. That actually would be helpful to me currently. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to figure out what my undertones are, and I think it's starfish. I don't know. I'm really pink. It's just, I'm overflowing with eyeshadows. There also were a couple different like styles of costume you could wear. One was called a team dress, which was a dress that was uniform throughout the whole school. Like the school picked a design for the dress, and then you all wear that dress until you earn what's called your solo costume. And in order to earn that, you have to place a certain way in competitions. And then once you're at a certain level, you get to get a custom dress. Most people buy them. There's a whole like secondhand market for used Irish dance dresses, because the custom ones come like from Ireland and are very expensive. And also, I mean, you know, at a certain point, probably, I guess now in the podcast, I have to talk about how insanely classist Irish dance is. Like, it's very problematic as an art form and sport, because it gets very, very expensive very quickly. And a lot of that is due to the costume that you have to wear.
That's the same as competitive, like, dancing.
Yeah.
Totally. We didn't get our costumes from the motherland, but they definitely came from a fancy catalog.
Yeah, that not coming from France or Russia for ballet.
That was crazy. I mean, not my version of ballet, though. I'm sure tutus from Paris cost more money than tutus from the catalog.
Yeah. Plus, tutu from Paris just sounds expensive.
Doesn't it sound fun, too?
It is nice.
I know. I was going to say, I was like, I've never done ballet, but a tutu from Paris I am interested in. Why do I want that? Like, in my head, I
for
just
your
like,
closet,
went there, and
Courtney,
I was like, oh.
You need it.
You know, I feel like I could wear a tutu. Like, I've worn
Sarah Jessica Parker
things.
Wore a tutu on the street, and it became quite iconic.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dang.
I think it's more, you just have to sort of shape your day around the tutu if you're going to wear one.
That's true. It's more of a the tutu wears you.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah. Okay.
You and your calendar.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to be cooking spaghetti that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. Okay.
More of
so
a going out to a restaurant. Kind
yeah.
Of, no? Okay.
Yeah. You wear your tutu to dinner, but you don't cook the dinner.
Yeah. And you got to have a big napkin at the restaurant.
Give me your biggest napkin.
Garçon. If you have a tablecloth, that would be ideal.
Any extras in the back for me?
Okay, so that. There's two palettes, one green, one blue.
One blue. Now we're on to a purple one. This is
oh, wow. Oh, that's quite purple.
Color tattoo. I don't know what this is. Like, so eyeshadows are usually sort of a compact, you know, powder, and you put it on a brush.
That looks more like a cream eyeshadow to me.
I guess that's what it is. It is
oh,
a little
wow,
cream
yeah.
eyeshadow. Uh-huh. And it sticks. I mean, they call it 24-hour eyeshadow, and yeah, that was right. And I got it because you're also you're literally exercising in these competitions. Yeah. Like, you are sweating because you are physically exerting yourself, but also you have to look nice, and so you have to find like weird makeup. It's, you know, it's the same for
can
all
can you imagine
forms.
If hockey players had to wear
I would love
eye makeup
I would yeah, love to
I
see.
Can't imagine it, and it's great.
Oh, just a member of the Colorado Avalanche with a gorgeous contour skating through the rain.
And you have to like put a lot on because you're behind a mask. So,
exactly.
Like, in order to see it, you
yes.
have to really define your cheekbones.
You need yeah. to make a statement.
That's right. Yeah. The judges want to see you when you step on that stage. On that
the
ice.
Referee needs to know
yeah.
what your bone structure looks like.
Yeah.
Okay. So Is there any eyeliner in there or like fake lashes that we're going to find?
We got fake lashes, baby. Oh, yeah. We have the smaller fake lashes. I sort of had like training wheel fake lashes because I was very afraid and confused by them. And
oh, then I went into
the big
Look
boys.
At those. Look at those little caterpillars.
I know. I kept them because I was like, these are reusable. No. I guess really the problem was that I also kept the glue that I was using, and that is no longer functional. But
just a congealed blob at this point.
It's not cute. It's not of this world anymore.
Like you, it is a ghost.
Yeah. But the fake eyelashes, you asked about, like, did we have specific instructions or tutorials for how we do our makeup? Yeah. I learned how to do the fake lashes from, like, one of the best dancers at my school.
Oh, sure.
And
you did.
They held sort of a makeup workshop before the big competition every year. And they were like, here is a color set that would go well with your dress specifically. And here's how you could do your lashes. And you should get bigger lashes. And this is what you should do with your crown that goes in front of your wig. And it was basically like a styling advice
session.
Do you
still have your crown?
It's at my mom's house. But
yes. Oh my god, yes.
I think I put it on at some point during the pandemic when I had like really lost it.
I like the idea of you like holding a glass of wine wearing your crown and your wig. Hello. Just like landing on the couch in sweatpants. That's what I imagine that you did.
I distinctly remember I did put on the wig while in a grout fit of just gray sweat pant material. And I was like, this feels right.
This is it. Yep, it's all coming together.
Mentally, this
You're
is
queen.
Where I'm at.
You're queen.
Curliest
okay,
head,
so,
comfiest body.
I do have one, like, I guess important question.
Yeah.
Why did you keep that?
Whoa! Oh my god, wait,
that's the title of the
name.
Show.
That's the title of the podcast. Oh my god.
Write that down.
Dang, she works that in seamlessly.
That's really... We all should just sit with that one more moment longer.
Let's let that resonate. Let's like really.
Why did I keep this?
Why did you keep it?
It was that thing of like, oh, I don't want to waste items. And I do also in the back of my head every now and then, even this past weekend, I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll finally learn eyeshadow. Maybe I'll do it. I only know how to do it for like 4 Irish dance dresses. On a stage from 30 feet away from a judge. Like, that is the only makeup look I know how to do. And that is not an everyday look. You cannot rock that just in the office. So I kept all these things because they do cover a lot of different palettes. And I only used, like, one color from each of them. So there's a bunch of untouched eyeshadow palettes that I'm like, one day I'll become like the kids on TikTok, just incredible at makeup and so good at video editing.
Courtney and I talk about this all the time, about like the expiration date of makeup.
Is there one?
Well,
I choose to believe there isn't, because we choose
to believe that there isn't, but yeah, I think that it's probably like a year.
Oh my god.
Oh,
no. I know. I think a lot of them are like, oh, a year after opening, and I'm just
because
like,
there's got to be so much bacteria.
Oh shoot.
Don't you think?
I'd
I mean,
love
if you
not
clean your brushes. Yeah, we like with the, okay. We like not to think about it.
I have old makeup, too. And I'm sure, actually, that I might have some of my blue eyeshadow from dancing at my parents' house in, like, a dance bag, maybe.
What do you think
I used to?
About
I used to take
blue.
A tackle box.
Oh, the blue? Well,
it feels
it's
like
a...
blue is a universal dance eyeshadow.
Yeah. Well, it's so beautiful.
It's I feel like it's the color of the sky. I don't know. I think like we... Good job, Courtney. Yes. Okay. I'm going to eat a cookie and sit in the corner.
It's also the color of the sea.
Dang
that's
it.
Another one.
That was a good one.
You're killing it.
I think, do you really think good. It has to do with the fact that maybe blue eyes have been... You know, I feel like idolized a little bit. You know, it's like, oh, blue eyes, how gorgeous. Blue, like, I don't know. And so it's like, oh, if you can't have blue eyes, the next best thing is blue eyeshadow. I don't know. Barbie had blue eyeshadow. Did she start it?
I like that. I think that's a very interesting question.
If we were a podcast that actually followed through on any of the things that we said we would research, this would be a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good. But
it
I will forget.
Sense. I mean,
but alas.
So many of these
out.
Dances are rooted in, like, prioritizing and elevating whiteness so much that definitely would track.
Interesting. Yeah. But also blue is just like, I loved blue eyeshadow as a kid. It looked beautiful.
It was very 1980s, though.
Yeah, it's 80s, yeah. 90s. It's kind of back. Like, it went away for the aughts, I feel like. But right now, with Y2K trending, I feel like the youths are trying to bring it back, which is rude.
What are we doing with that? What's the... what do we do? I feel trapped.
I don't know. It's like, if you try to do the youthful trends, you just look older.
Yeah.
But then you also, I don't know. Sometimes I care and sometimes I don't. I recently, within the last couple of months, I also bought a palette of like brightly colored eyeshadows because I too was like, I will learn how to do the makeups. Mm-hmm. I learned how to do makeup when I was 12 and I went to modeling school.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I went to modeling.
She was a baby beauty.
And was this in lieu of academic school?
No. It was on Saturdays, okay. Baby. I didn't learn math, but I can walk.
Hey, a lot of people are great at math, but terrible at walking. So
terrible, you know, ma'am. I just want to have it all. Mm-hmm. No, this was on Saturdays. I did like modeling classes. I went on modeling auditions. It was like I did like acting stuff, and then my mom sort of encouraged it. She was a model, and she was like, I like modeling. Maybe you'll like modeling also. So I took classes, and that's where I actually went to like a place that had like a catwalk where you had to like learn walks, but we also like learned about skincare and how to do makeup. But again, I was 12 years old, therefore it was 1998. And I have not updated how I have done my makeup since then. And so it is so fascinating to watch YouTubers and TikTokers who, like, I cannot get contouring down. I don't understand. It terrifies me. The idea of putting, like, the makeup here and, like, on the jawline. Putting makeup on the jawline makes me think of the orange line that so many of us had in high school from not wearing the right color concealer and putting way too much on it and not blending. So
I've truly never tried to contour, but I see those, like, intense makeup videos, and I'm just, like, I can't imagine putting that much effort in to anything.
Mm-hmm. It's effort, and also, when I put makeup on, I try to use as little as possible, not because I'm like, oh, I don't really want to use that much makeup. It's because I am cheap, and I do not want to have to buy more. Yeah. And so I'm just like, this little dot will go the whole way. Mm-hmm.
But you've got great skin. Like, you never look like you need that much makeup. Oh, so.
Thank you. This ring light is doing wonders. I only want to be seen in the glow of this ring light for forever. Makeup is... I also have contended with the fact that I hold on to makeup for years. And I'm just like, if I still have some, I am not going to throw it away and buy a new one. That is wasteful. Yes. That is bad for the environment. And so, I use mascara. Like, I'll do the thing where I'll put, like, saline solution into, like, a mascara tube try to really get mileage out of it. And
I don't do that.
It never works. Gross.
My ears are hearing that as a thing for the first time right now.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's a thing you can do. Just get a little saline solution there. It's great. It doesn't.
I've done that with like nail polish remover and nail polish to like loosen it up a bit.
I'll do it with soap. We all do it.
Look, I read about it in a magazine. It seems like they know what they're talking about.
Good to the last drop. But, you know?
It wasn't until recently that I held on to these, like, mascaras where I was like, there's still technically stuff in here. And then I think when I moved in January, I was, like, trying to get rid of stuff. And it felt like a big win to, like, get rid of, like, two tubes of mascara. I was like,
I got rid of a ton of stuff that I, you know, was kind of, like, getting drier and not excellent.
Mm-hmm. It is pretty amazing when... you get a new mascara and you're like, oh my God, it actually sticks to my eyelashes. Yeah. It actually applies. Oh, yeah. There's actually gunk there.
The first week of a new mascara is a really special time for any woman.
In any person's life, that first week of a new mascara.
Not just women, anyone who's into mascara, really.
Here's
what's really crazy to me. I don't know how I still have this bag of things because when I was home at my... When I moved home during the pandemic, I cleared out my bathroom, like most of the stuff that I used, and somehow still ended up with this massive bag of eyeshadow. Also, I moved twice from California to Colorado and then back from Colorado to California with my car alone. And still, even then, when I was fitting everything I owned into a Prius and moving all of the boxes myself, so everything I carried was an extra pound that I put in there for me to lift, I still brought this makeup bag. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's leaving. I really don't. I think it's with me forever.
Is it like a... Do you think that there are like just sentimental memories attached to it that also make it like hard to get rid of? Is it, is there like a hope that like maybe you're like, maybe I'll pick up Irish dancing again?
Maybe when you were a kid, you like left
Twitch. Let the record show that when I said that, Liana visibly reacted and just...
She recoiled.
She recoiled.
Maybe when you were a kid, you like lost a makeup bag and got in trouble. So now you're just like really holding on to this one from a competition?
No.
Okay. It is just, it's, no, I get it. I think that's a good enough reason is that there's it's just still
not,
stuff.
It's just not done.
It feels bad it's to throw done. Away a whole palette of eyeshadow, especially and if I you've do, only used the green one.
I do think it's also that thing of like, maybe today I'll learn eyeshadow. Mm-hmm. So yes. It's nice to have a backup store. With
I guess what I think is another like question our listeners might be having is, do you have other makeup that you use? Like, do you have another bag of like current makeup that's not bright blue? Like maybe like a soft gray or like a light purpley color or like, you know, pink. I don't know, whatever. But do you have current makeup that you're using that you take to your office every or you put on before work?
I did not know gray was an option in the makeup realm. That is
I'm wearing gray today, actually. That's where what?
It looks so it looks good.
It looks lovely.
Thank very you so much, look. Everyone.
I can't do that because of my undertones. Grays and silvers don't work for me.
Maybe that's why I was not aware. I don't know. If anybody knows what to do with starfish undertones, please let me know. It really throws me. So the stuff I wear now is like, I didn't have eyebrows for approximately 22 years of my life. And then somebody was like, you can fix that, you know? And I was like, pardon? And so now, and by didn't have, I mean, I just have really, really pale eyebrows. So they don't show up in photos or real life. And so I'll use that like mascara wand, but eyebrow edition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From a brand.
Yeah. And then, we might use the same one.
I think it's Benefit Cosmetics.
I have one of those.
I have a Benefit brow.
I was using Glossier, boy brow, and it's great, but then I just happened to get like one of those, like a free sample of the Benefit ones. And I was like, I think I might like this one a little bit more. It just has a better stick to it.
Yeah.
What a beautiful. My friend in Toronto is the eyebrow person for Benefit.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
Oh my
God.
She does brows for Benefit.
Well, shout
out. And she told me what to buy one day, and it's like that pencil and the brush at the end, mm-hmm. and then the like the goo, if you will.
Yes,
I'm gonna try that because that's I still even with it, I'm like looking at it right now, and I'm like, it's also whenever I feel like whenever I'm on a video call with Jackie, where you have, I mean, darker eyebrows than you do, I'm always very jealous of like the definition between your gorgeous. Skin and your eyebrow. Where for mm-hmm. me, it just kind of feels like it all blends together.
Yeah. I mean, I think your face is perfect, but thank you.
Aww. No, you are.
Should I go?
Liana, we're going to need a minute. Okay, wait. So tell us about your eyebrows. I'm so sorry. We got
about my eyebrows. Three women do a podcast.
No, I love your eyebrows.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So I don't really do... I just don't wear that much anymore. The way that I approach my whole, like, sort of from the neck up is I'll go to a professional and be like, please tell me how to do this with doing the least possible for it, because I will not put any time into this and I will not remember what you tell me to do. So anything that I can do that you just put on me now, do that. So it's like mascara, put on eyebrows... under eye concealer because I've been tired since the age of like 4. And then I recently went to a dermatologist and she was like, girl, you need sunscreen all the time. Mm-hmm. So now I also have a bit of a skincare routine. And I think I'm also doing that wrong because they gave me this like prescription cleanser and I've been using it, but I never know what the right, like what a pearl sized amount of anything is. And I got a text from the pharmacy the other day that was like, you're probably running low on that, right? And I was like, no. I have almost the full bottle left. Am I supposed to
I
be
think that
low?
Text from the pharmacy that I get it also, it's like, no, I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, that's really good to hear. This is my first time with a pharmaceutical cream.
They ask me like every day if I'm done with it. And I'm like, no.
You pick it up and on the way out, they're like, hey, are you running low?
Yeah. No, don't worry about that. Okay, a pearl size is a pearl size. You're fine.
Okay. This has been really empowering, you guys.
The pharmacy wants your money. Don't worry about it.
Do you do a tinted sunscreen? Because I recently got into tinted sunscreens, and those are a game changer for me. I'm a big fan.
I do not. I have stayed away from tinted anything since I left behind the world of Irish dance, having had the orange legs and the orange face and the pale everything in between. I am just not. I'm so not interested. And we tried everything. Like, we tried the Jergens lotion, just putting that on. Then we went to At the Beach Tanning Salon and just told a professional woman what was going on. And then bought a foundation that was like 6 shades off from my actual face. That's also why I had to throw away my foundations, because I never had one that actually matched my skin tone.
Right.
Because it matched the legs that were not my own. And so for all those reasons, I'm like, you know what?
I like the idea of you going into a makeup store, like with your leg up, being like, can you please match this?
Honestly, yeah.
It was looking for something.
It was that, but
this
orange
is what I'm going
not a,
for.
Not a makeup store. It's like, right. Okay, which of these matches the calf?
That's amazing. So, okay, so we need to. I'm glad that you're wearing sunscreen. It's very important.
Thank you. It's really concerningly new in my life.
Yeah.
As an everyday
I also
thing.
Have hair sunscreen what? Now. Well, because we're in LA and it's so sunny all the time, and I hate hats so much. You can get this like spray for your part,
and it doesn't make your hair greasy.
What is it? It's Kula, the one I have. What do you have, Courtney?
Yeah, I was gonna say no. I ended up not going with it because I do like wearing hats,
you do
and
wear hats.
I have the powder brush. I have like the brush makeup that is SPF, like powder, and it's okay. It's like a little tube that a brush pops out of it.
I don't know anything about makeup. I know I have a bag full of it. I've learned nothing about it since I just took
I was
bag with
definitely
me.
Mom. So my mom had melanoma cancer before I was born, and so she, from a very young age, has been very insistent that I always wear sunscreen. So sunscreen is just the thing I know a little bit about, and that's what I invest in. Is I will put good money into good sunscreen, but there's this. It's a powder. So you know with sunscreen, you're supposed to reapply every 2 hours. But if you're wearing it, you know.
What? Am I supposed to be taking this?
Anyway, so that's the thing. Is like, what are you going to do? You got a full face of makeup on. Are you going to put like a lather bunch of sunscreen on? No. There's like this little powder that you bring with you that you just brush on your face. It's powder sunscreen. And I just use that on my part if I'm not wearing a hat.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Whole thing. Yeah.
You gotta think of your whole
head.
Okay,
honestly, this is why it's so important that women do podcasts, because I'm gonna be alive for longer because three women talk to each other.
It's life affirming and also
this
like,
is a life saving podcast in so many ways.
Oh, I also wanna I'm just realizing, Jackie, I'm very much assuming your gender. Is that am I correct in this? I know I've said this a few times. Okay.
No, you are correct. Everyone else actually, I forgot to put it in my little screen here today, but okay, I do identify as a woman.
I've been trying to be more less gendered about things, but I do think it's very funny to say three women.
Yeah, do a podcast. I do too. It's so good. It sounds amazing.
But this is why they didn't want us to, because they were like, they're going to tell each other life-saving tips for how to stay alive for longer.
We
give them a
they
podcast.
Were like, women already outlive men. Like, what are we going to do? Put all those brains together? That's too powerful. And they were right.
Way too powerful. Scalp sunscreen?
It's important that women talk about sunscreen. Mm. Also just skincare in general.
Yeah.
Financial stuff, probably, and closets. Dang. And probably health. I don't know. And maybe, like, there's some other things.
Nah, I like those. That's a good roundup for me. Skincare
like
has
five
been
things that we all need to talk about.
Yeah.
Skincare's been big for me during the past 2 years, just because it gives me a sense of control, where I'm like, I can't control anything else, that but I can sense. Control what I put on my face. And that's pretty much it. End of list.
Well, you're doing a great job.
Thank you. I'm loving the under eye cream you gave me, Jackie. I just love it. It's great.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Running out. Again, that's another one where I'm like milking to the very end. I haven't put any saline solution in it yet. But
I feel like that would defeat the whole purpose of an eye cream. You just started rubbing saline solution on your face. I don't approve.
I feel like we can all walk away from this with like a next stage of growth. And Courtney, I feel like yours is going to be just when you, instead of putting
a new version,
yeah, baby steps. I think I'm getting closer to being that person.
I mean, just stop buying saline solution and then
just you can get it in bulk, okay? And it's a great deal.
All right, well, no.
It's not a good enough justification. You can get so many things in bulk. Okay. You should.
Well, this has been an absolute delight. Liana, thank you so much for joining us. So much fun. Why don't you, you have a podcast. Why don't you, could you plug that? Do you want to plug yourself before you head off for the day?
Plug it in.
Oh, baby, I got a podcast. My friend and I have a podcast called Tossed Popcorn. It's a movie review podcast. It's the winner of the 2020 iHeartRadio Next Great Podcast competition. And we are watching. Thank you. Thank you. I will be milking that for as long as I can.
And you should.
And so I shall. We're watching every movie on the AFI's 100 Greatest Movies of All Time, 10th Anniversary Edition. But neither of us really likes classic movies that much. You can find us at Tossed Popcorn. You can find me at Liana Holston. The spelling is hard, so read the description.
Yes. all right. And so, yeah, thank you so much for being here. Thank you to our producer, Akshay. Does the heavy lifting on this pod. Thank you so much to our listeners. If you haven't done so, we would love if you followed us on Instagram at @WhyDidIKeepThis. If you liked and subscribed to this podcast, wherever, you know, you do that, Spotify, Apple, and a big thank you to Genevieve Vincent, the composer of our intro and outro music. It is a delight to listen to every time. Thank you all so much. We appreciate you. And goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.